Hi, welcome back to His Ability. We're talking this week about supernatural faith walk, testimonies about actually using your faith, not only for possibly healing others or people in your family, but there are other levels, other things that you can do with your faith that we've been encouraged to try and start, you know, moving in different ways. The signs that follow those who actually believe are talked about in Mark 16, verse 17 and 18, where we drive out demons, we speak in tongues, even if we drink deadly poison, it will not harm us. We're talking about the weather because, you know, Jesus came and walked on the water and rebuked the storm. And I don't believe he was doing that just to show off his power, that he was God, but that he wanted us to walk in this power. And I was encouraged by a testimony, and I shared last week about Pat Robertson explaining that he had rebuked a hurricane from coming to destroy the radio station he had when it was a smaller ministry. And we're talking about all the testimonies of things that we've been seeing happening in the weather. It's just so supernatural. And I want to just take up again where I left off last week, where this next story. We just recently were at a wedding, and my daughter, Bethany, and her husband, a matron of honor and the best man in this wedding, is her husband's brother getting married. And the morning of, I saw how beautiful the weather was, and a smile crept over my face, and I just knew that Bethany was just had ordered this weather, as we've been doing. And you can go back and listen to the stories from last week on hisability.com and the archived programs. And I got to the wedding at 3 o'clock, and first thing that came out of the pastor's mouth was, "Well, I don't know who ordered this weather, but it sure is beautiful." And Bethany it turned to me in the church from way up there and smiled, big smile, and pointed to herself that she had prayed for the weather. And I couldn't help myself, so I laughed out loud. And we just had a nice family moment that, you know, we're just tied together in our faith, and, you know, we're watching each other walk in faith. And this, I know this is kind of a hard to believe thing, but you know, that these are the signs that follow those who believe. So that was another testimony. Last week we talked about some other things that happened. You can listen to those. But you know what happens is, at that moment when I saw, I'm just so blessed. I'm so proud to see my kids, you know, having the power that I didn't realize we had when I was younger. Because what happened is, the verse came to me, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. And I wanted to share that. That's Hosea 4:6. And I wanted to share that my life was sabotaged by Satan when I was 19. I was married for the first time. And so I had my 5 children after that marriage, and then it ended in divorce. But that first marriage was a Christian marriage. And what happened is, I was 19, and we, we were born again. We were believing. We were trying to live our lives, you know, for the Lord. And Satan knew we were lacking in knowledge. And I don't want to see that happen. That's not going to happen anymore. That's not going to happen to my kids. We are learning what God has given us and how to use it. I was 19. We had rain on our wedding day. I now know that I don't have to put up with that. That's something I can dominate with my faith. That I have watched us numerous times, watch the weather change through prayer. We've just commanded the weather to change. So it rained on my wedding day the first time, and then 3 days later I was involved in a car accident which left me with a spinal cord injury. So back in 1985, I believe that that was the plan that Satan had for my life, and I was left to suffer with that because I didn't know any better. I didn't know that I could believe that healing was supposed to happen right then, that I could have resisted that and watched healing take place and not just wait for whenever God was ready to have it happen. I know God was waiting for me. So the things that have happened in my life since then, it took me a long time to see that, you know, God finally got through to me that I don't have to wait on him. He's waiting for us to exercise our faith. But because of lack of knowledge, until I learned this through a ministry that's preaching that today, I didn't know that I should be stepping out in my faith, that I should be declaring my healing, that I should be not, you know, resisting the devil, and he will flee in the physical realm, not just spiritually. So he does try to attack your life. If you've let him attack yours, you can turn that around beginning today. We just encourage every one of our listeners to stand up and realize that you have the power to resist the devil in your life, and that you don't have, I don't preach how to get through life with your disability. If you have a disability in your life, it's not God's will for that to be there, and that you are able to rebuke that and be healed in the name of Jesus. I'm working towards that myself. I've seen a lot of miracles happening, and we're fighting back. You know, the enemy's going to try to steal all the promises that God has for you. And if you don't know any better because you're lacking in knowledge, then you do suffer. The verse goes, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge," Hosea 4:6, and I believe that's still true today. I used to think that I was supposed to ask God to sovereignly protect me, but as a parent, we know that we don't change diapers forever for our children. We expect our kids to use the knowledge that we impart to them, that they grow up and drive cars and work and get dressed by themselves. God has not left us. He's with us through it all, but he expects us to use the authority and the power that he's given us. And we must use it or we're going to get run over by Satan. What do you think, Mark?
Oh, yeah. The worst thing you can do is have all the power that was in Jesus and not even know it and not walk in it, not exercise it in your life.
It's like having a computer with so many abilities that you don't know how to use.
Four gigabyte processor, huge hard drive, DVD player, and all you know how to do is play solitaire.
Yeah, I know. And that's what we're doing with our Christian walk, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have all this equipment. God has bestowed so many blessings on the inside of us. We don't realize what we have as Christians. If you're not born again, you need to get born again. You need to ask God, you know, just say, "I receive your gift, your free
atonement.
Gift, your atonement. I'm a sinner, and I give my life to God. I don't want to be held accountable for my sins. I want Jesus paid the price for me, and I want to take that payment." And then you are born again, and you've got Christ living inside of you.
And then you go a step further, and you say, "Now that I know the gift giver, I ask for gifts." And you ask to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you can walk in power and authority, and so that you can do things like speak to the weather when it's a very important day and it's looking, you know, 80% chance of rain, and the clouds are rolling in, and you need it to be sunshine. You can say, "You know what? In the name of Jesus, I command sunshine to be over this event until it ends."
And then does it happen instantly?
No, it takes some time.
Oh,
I watch
within half an hour.
Yeah, but not instantly.
Right. And so you got to wait and go, "Well, right. I've ordered my weather in Jesus' name." And, you know, this, you know, we're taking risks saying this stuff in the public. It just sounds crazy, but, you know, I'm, what do they call that? I'm a fool for Christ.
Well,
right?
It takes a man with the Spirit to understand the things of the Spirit. We're talking about spiritual authority. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, or if you're not born again, this is all absolute nonsense to you.
And a double-minded man will not receive anything from Christ, from God. It says in James 1:8, if you're double-minded, you're not going to receive anything. So it's working towards believing the Word of God 100% and leaving your past knowledge of unbelief. Basically, we get trained up in unbelief in the world from TV and from just...
Or indoctrinated in unbelief.
Yeah.
Or absolutely baptized in unbelief.
And relearning, you know, renewing your mind right. to not just the physical realm, but right. now learning that the spiritual realm trumps the physical realm. That's where we get healing and supernatural events.
Absolutely. The spiritual realm created the physical realm. It has power and authority over it.
God spoke it into existence, and that was right. a spiritual event.
God is a spirit.
Amen. If you've had any stories, if you're listening and you actually have experienced these things, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at life@hisability.com. I was sharing it with a friend that, we've been seeing the weather, we've been affecting the weather with our faith. And she says, yeah, I actually went outside in a storm once, held my hand up to a tree that was trying to fall on our house. And it's still there. And I just, that was her testimony. It was starting to rock and, come down right on their house. And in the name of Jesus, she was holding up that tree like it was the Red Sea, Moses and the Red Sea. So if you've had a testimony, we'd love to hear from you. We share those things. And we just hope that this builds your faith as it did mine when I heard Pat Robertson talking about his weather story. So we do have one more verse we can share, and we'll be closing. Do you have anything else, Mark?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember where it's at, but in one of the Gospels, I think Jesus was asked to raise someone from the dead, and he said, only believe. And I was thinking about that, only believe. Why would he say it that way? And I think what he was saying was, you can have faith and believe in something, but you can also have unbelief countering your faith. So I think what he was saying was, when you are speaking out or stepping out in faith, only believe. Don't walk in unbelief. And that's what you were talking about, being double-minded.
Right.
You know, it's the unbelief can counter your faith. It doesn't take much faith to move mountains. Jesus said, the faith of a mustard seed, the smallest little seed, mm-hmm. Is enough to move mountains. But the problem is, it's the unbelief in us that counters our faith. So if you want to get rid of your unbelief, prayer and fasting. That kind only comes out by prayer and fasting.
Amen.
Amen.
So we just encourage you to read the word and believe it over what you see, and just start trying to step out like a toddler that's starting to walk. It pleases the parents. They just get all tickled when their toddler's starting to walk, and even they trip and fall or they're trying to ride their bike. God is pleased with us when we are trying to step out in faith.
Amen.
And use our faith. Have a good week, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.